We left off in the middle of Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, a little bit closer to the bottom of the page than to the top of the page, but not by much. Last row in the line is Idach. We're up to Tanya Idach. So it says the Gemara, Tanya Idach. Hamocher esbito apasuk al menash shaloli ya'ed. Niskayim atanai divra meir. What if a guy sells his daughter and makes a condition in the sale that the adon should not do yiud on the girl? So normally it's standard procedure that the adon should have the opportunity and the ability and is encouraged to do yiud. Sefer HaChinuch says that yiud is a great chesed that we do with the girl, that she'll be taken care of, that someone's going to marry her and she's going to be taken care of. So let's say the father sells almanas that there shouldn't be any yiud. So Rameir says that's fine, the sale is still valid. The Tanai is a legitimate Tanai, the sale is valid, and the Adon is not allowed to do yield. And the Chum say, no, how could you make such a Tanai like that? You're going against what it says in the Torah. The Torah says that there's something that you're supposed to do yield. So whenever you're Masal Mash Kasa B'Torah, the halacha is that the Tanai is batal, but the Maisa is Kayim. And therefore, the sale is a binding sale, and the Adon is going to own her, but he's allowed to do Yiyud. And therefore, it's a totally normal purchase of an Amma Ivriya. So, frankly, Gemara, really, Rameir to know, Kaim, does Rameir really hold that when you're Masal Mashkas B'Torah, you make a Tanai against what it says in the Torah, such a Tanai is going to be valid? Vatanya, we have a Brisa that seems to say otherwise. Ha'omer li isha hareat mekudeshesli, amna she'elach alai sher ksus va'ona, hareza mekudeshes, utano batal, divrei Rameir. Rameir says that if you're Mekadesh woman almanas, that you won't have the standard obligations a husband has toward his wife. Nevertheless, the Kiddushin is chal, but the Tanai is totally batel. Meaning Rameir, in our case, by Yud, seemed to say that the Tanai is fine. Don't worry about the fact that you're making a Tanai against what it says in the Torah. And yet over here, by Shar Ksus V'Yona, Rameir says that the Tanai is batel, the Maisa is Kayim, you have a Kiddushin, but the Tanai is totally invalid. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Davish, Mamma Tanai Kayim. Rabbi Huda says, no, when it comes to monetary issues, the Tanai is going to be valid. What does it mean, B'davar Shabbat Mamun Tanai Kayim? Out of Sher, Ksus, Va'ona, only two of them are monetary. So any Tanai about Sher, Ksus, which is about money, which is financial in nature, is going to be a valid Tanai. But a Tanai about Ona, as Rashi says, is not Nitan L'Mechila, because it's Sara Degufa, and Sara Degufa is Yahiv L'Mechila, is not something that one can be Mochel, which is an interesting concept in general. Is that always true, that one cannot be mochel Sara Degufa? Can I tell you to punch me? And don't worry about it. You can punch me. I don't mind. So is that something that that one has the right to be mochel? But anyway, at least the Tsara Degufa of not having ona, of the woman not sleeping with her husband, that apparently Rashi says is not Isyav L'Mechil. This is a big shaila when it comes to when I was talking about the case of I tell you to punch me. It is a big shaila when it comes to playing games like paintball and things like that, where I'm basically playing a game where I'm asking you to inflict physical harm upon me. When we go with the Talmidim, sometimes it's their greatest pride afterwards to show, you know, look at this huge welt I have over here. And look, so that is one allowed to do that? Is that within one's rights to be mochel? But anyway, the money is nitan l'mechila. Tzara deguf is not nitan l'mechila. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. A davar shebe mamon you can make a tanai on, because of the tanai you're being mochel the mamon. But when the ona is not a davar shebe mamon, you can't make a tanai on. But bottom line is, it's a stira between Rabbi Meir's shita and the two brises. And in the first brise, Rabbi Meir held the Tanai is even Kayim when you go when the Tanai is against the Torah. And second Brisa, he says, no, the Tanai is cancelled. Why isn't it also a stira in the Chachamim? That in the first Brisa, the Chachamim said that the Tanai is cancelled because it's Masa Mashkos Torah. In the second Brisa, the Chachamim said, or Rabbi Yehuda, who I guess would be the parallel to the Chachamim, said, B'davar Shem Mamun Tano Kayim, even though it's against what it says in the Torah. So Tos points out, Midrabanan Adrabanan Lokasha, Di Yud Lohavi, Davar Shem Mamun. It's not a stira, because the Rabbanan could hold one consistent rule that only when it comes to a davar shebimamon, the Tanai is kayim. When it's not a davar shebimamon, the Tanai is not kayim. Yiyud is not a davar shebimamon. That's why the Tanai is not a valid Tanai, according to the Rabbanon. So it's only a steer with the Rameir. Says the Gemara, Amar Chizkiya, Shaini hacha da amar kra la'ama, pa'am shenu mochra ela la'ama bulvad. Generally speaking, Rabbi Meir holds what he holds in the Brice of Sharik Sosviyon, that you cannot make a Tanai against what it says in the Torah. However, he understands that there's a special drusha from the Pasuk to teach me that Yiyud does not always have to be an option. That sometimes you sell her only as an Amma and as nothing more, with no potential to become anything more than an Amma. So since we have a special Riboy in the Pasuk from La Amma to tell me that Yiyud does not always have to be an option, that's why you're allowed to sell your daughter Al-Minas, that the Adon does not do Yiyud with her. V'Rabbanan Haylama Mayavdilei, but what are the Rabbanan who think that such a Tanai is invalid? What do they do with the word La'ama? So, Hamibayu Lehu Lichatitanya, they use it for the following drasha. La'ama Melamit Shemokh L'Psulim. La'ama teaches that the father is allowed to sell his daughter to Psulim, that they're not off limits in terms of who he's allowed to sell his daughter to. He can sell his daughter to a Mamzer or a Nassin, even though there's no potential for Yiyud, because obviously the Mamzer is not allowed to marry his daughter, not allowed to marry the Mamzer, but nevertheless he can sell her to Psulim. So, frankly, Mar Valodinu, or says Mar Valodinu, logically I would have assumed the other way, Mekudeshes L'Psulim, or logically I would have assumed this anyway, that Mekudeshes L'Psulim, Lo Yim Karenu L'Psulim. Look, if he's allowed to be mekadesh her to psulim, meaning by chayavei lavin, if he gives her over for kiddushin, the kiddushin is chal, right? Even though it's not encouraged, obviously it's nisr in the Torah, but nevertheless, if kiddushin works with the chayavei lavin, so the father shouldn't have the ability to sell it to psulim. So says Gemara, na mal mekadesh the psulim shekeinad mekadesh bituk shinara yimkarenu the psulim sheinad mekadesh bituk shinara. Just because he could be mekadesh her, you can give her over for kiddushin to someone who's puzzled, does not mean that logically we would know he can also sell her. Sometimes the father's rights in kiddushin are stronger than his rights in selling her as an amma. For example, the father has the rights in kiddushin when his daughter's a nara. He doesn't have the rights in selling her as an amma when his daughter's a nara. So you see that the father's rights in kiddushin are stronger, and therefore we would not have known on our own that the father can sell her to psulim. That's why the Rabbanan say we need the word la'ama to teach us that the father can sell her to psulin, and that's what the Rabbanan do with the word li'ama. So says Rav Lazar Omer, in la'amit shemarch l'psulin arik v'anemar. That can't be the chiddush of the word la'ama, because we already says, meaning the chiddush of the word la'ama can't be that she can be sold to psulin, because we already darshan apasukim ra'a be'enei adoneha shera'a b'nisueha. That what's so bad be'enei adoneha? That she's ra'a b'nisu'eha, that getting married to this guy would be usur, would be a bad thing. So we see from there already that there's the possibility that she's owned by someone who's pasul. So matam lomad la'ama, what then is the chiddush of the word la'ama? What then is the drasha we make from the word la'ama? Again, we're assuming like the Rabbanan to Rabbi Meir, who say that it can't be to teach me that you can make a tanai when you sell your daughter, that the guy shouldn't be able to miya'ed her. And it can't be that it's teaching me the chiddush that she can be given over sold to a pasul, because we already know that from Imra Bein Adonai. So what do we do with the word La'ama? Melamed Shemachra L'Krovim, to teach me that you're allowed to sell it to Krovim, even though the Krovim are going to be unable to do Yiyud. They're related to her and they're not allowed to marry her. Still, you're allowed to sell her to them as an Amma Ivriya. So it says, Mar Valadinu, Marchal Psulim Le'im Krenim L'Krovim. Wouldn't I have known that even without the word La'ama? After all, if you can sell her to someone who's pasul, shouldn't you be allowed to sell her to someone who's a karov? Doesn't seem as bad as selling it to someone who's pasul. So it says, no, ma'ala mochra l'psulin shim ratzal liya'in miya'id, yim krenu l'krov shim ratzal liya'in miya'id. That's not a logical argument necessarily, because one could say that if someone sells it, you may sell it to a pasul, because at least the pasul has the ability to do yiyud. It may not be encouraged, it may be an iser, but at least there's kiddushin tovsin. At least there's a tfisas kiddushin. At least there's kiddushin that's chal when a pasul does yiyud. So I might think as long as there's potential for yiyud to happen, even though we may not like it, as long as there's potential for you to be chal, then there could be a sale. Then the sale is a valid sale. But selling her to a karov where there's that, where yiyut can't happen, where there can't even be kiddushin tovsin, where yiyut is not even a possibility, legally or illegally, it's not even a possibility. Even if it's tried, it's not a possibility. It doesn't work. It's not chal. So I might think that you cannot sell her to a relative where yiyut is not a possibility. So Amar Kra, that's why they have the pasuk la'ama malamich or machal krov, and tell me that you can sell her to a karov, even though there's not going to be yiyut and there's no kiddushin tovsin.
If she's allowed to be sold to a pasul karov, why would we say that if you do that tonight, that it's not master mashkut torah? If you see that.
Right, so the chiluk really. The chiluk you have to make is that when it's a situation where the guy is able to, you can't, meaning when the Torah says this guy can't marry you, fine, the Torah says this guy can't marry you, but when the Torah says this guy can, you can't go ahead and make it that he can't. It's not that we see that that doing yiyud is ma'akev, it may not necessarily be ma'akev. Good. So says the Gemara. So we were just discussing how do the Rabbanan use the word la'ama, right? What are the Rabbanan darshan from the word la'ama? Ravi Meir darshan from the word la'ama that you're allowed to make such a t'nai that the guy shouldn't be allowed to do yield. So the Rabbanan used to teach me that you're allowed to give her to a pasul or to a karov. So frek the Gemara now, how's Rav Meir going to know those dinim? Rav Meir lupsulin nafkle mehechad and nafkle l'Rav Lazar. Well, in terms of the fact that you're allowed to sell her to a pasul, that he'll learn from the same place Rav Lazar did im ra'a be'ene adoneha she ra'a b'nisueha, that you're allowed to give her over to a pasul, right? That drasha we had on the very bottom line of Yatesam Beis. And b'krovim savar l'krabon damrein marchul l'krovim. And when it comes to krovim, he won't agree with that halacha. He'll hold like the shita of the Rabbanan that say that in fact you're not allowed to sell her to krovim. So that's how he gets out of that problem. So he darshins la'ama for it. He darshins it that you're allowed to sell her al tanai, that the adon can't do yiyud. And in terms of krovim, there's no halacha that needs to be learned from la'ama about krovim, because in fact you're not allowed to sell her to krovim. Tani chada marchul avivein marchul b'no v'tani yidachin marchul alav b'no. We have a steer between two brises. One brisa says you can sell her to your father, but not to your son. And another bris says you can't sell her to your father or to your son. So I understand the one that says you can't sell her to either of those relatives. That's going like the Rabbanan, who say that you're not allowed to sell her to Krovim. But who's the one that's going to say that you can sell it to your father, but you can't sell it to your son? It's not going like the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan say you're not allowed to sell it to either one. And it's not like Rabbi Lazar, because according to Rabbi Lazar, there's no problem with selling to Krovim. We learn from La'ama that you're allowed to sell to Krovim, even though there's no potential, there's no possibility for yield. So why would anyone make a distinction between Aviv and Beno? Says, well, the Olam Krabbanan, really we're going like the Shita of the Rabbanan, that you're generally not allowed to sell it to Krovim. Why are you not allowed to sell it to Krovim, though? It's because when you sell it to a Karov, there's no possibility for Yiyud. But Mod Rabbanan Hechadikat Sad Yiyud. But when you're selling her to a Karov, where there will be a possibility for Yiyud, then it's not going to be a problem. So what do I mean? But what does the Gemara mean by that? What the Gemara means is as follows. The Torah says that when it comes to Yiyud, the Adon doesn't have to do the Yiyud himself. Either he has options. Either he takes her for himself, or he gives her to his son. So when the Brisa says that you could be mochra the la'aviv ve'in mochra l'bno, it's telling you as follows: you can't sell your own daughter to your son, because your own son can't do yiyud on your own daughter; it's his sister. Nor can his son do yiyud on the daughter. But, because it's also an asur relationship, but when you sell to your father, while it's true that your father cannot do yiyud on your daughter because it's his granddaughter, but your father's son can do yiyud on your daughter because it's his niece. And the halacha is that an uncle is allowed to marry a niece. You're allowed to marry your brother's daughter. Not only allowed to, perhaps encouraged to take care of family members. So since you're allowed to marry your brother's daughter, So Mela, that's Yud, is possible when you sell to the father. So that's the Shita of the Rabbanim. Not that you're not allowed to sell to any Krovim. You're not allowed to sell to a Karov where the situation is that neither the father nor the son is going to be able to do Yud. If that's not the situation, then you are allowed to sell to the Karov. Right, we've discussed on many occasions the famous Tzavas to Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, which is discussed by Nadav Yehuda, who takes a lot of the relationships that Chazal permit and encourage. And in the Savad Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, he says, no, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't, it's Asr, you shouldn't marry, an uncle shouldn't marry a niece, etc. So Rabbi Yehuda says that had this Savad been written by anybody else other than someone who's Mukhsak as a Tzaddik and a Talmud Chacham, we would have been able to say that the Savad is apikorsis and it's ridiculous and we now can't trust anything else the person wrote. But since it was written by Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, we have to tie it up in some way, and we have to be able to say that it must be that he was only writing for his family, he wasn't writing for other people, and you have to fetch out of it some way. But there's no way, Nodibuda says, that we should follow that Sava'a for ourselves over Divrei Chazal, over what Chazal say. That's a famous tshuva, because at the end of the tshuva, the Nadav Yehuda says, and I'm sick and tired of getting these questions about it. Well, this one's name is like that one, and this one's like, I want someone to ask me just once. The Gemara says you're supposed to marry your daughter off to a Talmud Chacham, and you're supposed to marry a Bas Talmud Chacham. I'm nervous, my son-in-law is not a Talmud Chacham. Well, just once, someone ask me that one. Someone ask me about something that's really important, and not about all these other things that come from later sources. Anyway, Tanu Rabbanan, Im Bekapo Yavo Bekapo Yavo. Pasuk says bekapo yavo bekapo yetzei. What does that mean? So the Gemara has two possibilities. Begufo nichnas begufo yetzei. If he comes in with his guf, he leaves with his guf. Rav Yaakov Amar yichidi nichnas yichidi yetzei. It means if he comes in alone, he leaves alone. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains each one. My begufo nichnas begufo yetzei. What does it mean if he comes in with his guf, he leaves with his guf? Amar Rava lomar sheni yotzei b'rashe evarim ke'eved. It's there to teach me that he does not go free with rashe evarim like an eved kanani. That an eved ivri, an Aver gets cut off, he does not automatically go free like an Eved Kanani does. Begufo yavo, begufo yetze. Says Tosos, the Salka Daitach to Logarim Eved Kanani. I might think that he should be no worse than an Eved Kanani, meaning that any way an Eved Kanani can go free, the Eved Ivri should also be able to go free. After all, the Eved Kananis, Eino Yotze Beshesh, Vyovel, Ubigaron Kesef. The Eved Kanani, Va'ovira Sabas, Vafiluach, Yotze Barash Evarim. The Eved Kanani does not go free with Shesh, with 6 years, and with Yovel, and with Giron Kesef. And if the master dies, the Eved Kanani even works for a daughter, even if he doesn't have any sons, unlike the Eved Ivri, who would only work for a son of his master, not for a daughter of his master. And still the Eved Kanani goes out with Rashi Evarim. So that's why I need to be told, Begufo Yavo Begufo Yetzei, that he doesn't go free like an Eved Kanani. So Amle Abaya, whom will Lo Tzeitzei K'tzeis Avadim Nafka? No, but we already know that from Lo Tzeitzei K'tzeis Avadim, that he doesn't go out with the same halachos of an Eved Kanani, namely with the Rashi Avarim. So says, well, now, Ime Hasam, had I learnt it from there, Hava Amina, Nesiv Le'Dme'ene V'Nepuk, Kamash Malan. I would have thought that he doesn't go Barashi Avarim like an Eved who goes out when he gets a limb chopped off, he goes out and he doesn't get anything for it, right? If you knock out his eye, he goes out, but he doesn't get anything other than his freedom. He just goes, but you don't pay him. But I would have thought, in what way is the Eved Ivri different? That he goes free plus he gets paid. That's why I have an extra pasuk to tell me that he has no din of going free with Rosh Eivarim at all. Not only does he not have the same din as Neved Kanani, but he has no din of Rosh Eivarim at all. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Amar Yichidi Nichnas Yichidi Yetzei. What does that mean? That he comes in alone and goes out alone. My Yichidi Yetzei. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Kachi Kamar. Yesh Lo Isha Banim Rabba Mosel Lo Shuv Chaknanis. If he's married, if he was previously married in his life as a regular Jew, as a free man, and he has a wife and children, so then his rabbo gives him, his master is allowed to give him a shivcha kananis while he's an eved. But ain lo ishu banim, ain rabbo mosel shivcha kananis. If he doesn't have an ishu banim in his own life as a Jew, as a free man beforehand, then his wife cannot give him a shivcha kananis. So it's a question what the banim is doing over here. Is you need both isha and banim? So Tosa Rush seems to say you need one or the other. Isha or Banim. Others seem to assume you need both, Isha and Banim. The The Ritva says that this idea of Ein Lo Yishev Banim Ein Rabbah Mosel Yishev Chakananis means that the Rabbah can't be Moser him Yishev Chakananis Bal Karcho, but still he's Muteris, he's Mutter B'Yishev Chakananis. He's allowed to marry Yishev Chakananis if he wants while he's an Eved. If the Rav is willing and the Eved is willing, then there's no reason why he shouldn't be allowed to marry Yishev Chakananis. It's just that the master can't force upon him a Yishev Chakananis if he wasn't married previously. Bali Musar suggests that the Svara for this idea of that if he's married previously, so his master can give him a Shivcha Kananis, is because ultimately we don't want him to want to stay with the Shivcha Kananis. Meaning at the end of the 6 years, he's going to have the option of saying, Ahavti es ishti ves adoni, I love my new wife, and I like my situation here, and I don't want to go free. That's a negative result. We don't want that to happen. The Gemara is going to say later on that it's we pierce his ear because the ozen sheshama bahar Sinai, the ear that heard at Har Sinai that Kilibene Shalavadim, right? The ear that heard at Har Sinai that you shouldn't steal, that ear gets punished. I mean, we don't want that to happen. We don't want Ritzia to happen. So the point is that if he's someone who's never been married before, so to him this might seem great, being married to a Shivcha Kananis. He might think this is wonderful. But if he's someone who's experienced the flavor of a Jewish marriage, he's someone who's experienced the beauty of a Jewish marriage beforehand, so to be married to a Shivcha Kananis, there's no way it will do it for him. That's not going to be something that's going to entice him to want to stay. So that's why, in order to discourage him from wanting to stay, we won't give him a Shivcha Kananis unless he's already experienced Jewish marriage, where this marriage will undoubtedly pale in comparison, and he's going to want to go out anyway. Let's say he was sold for $100, and then he went up in value. He started working out, and he started going to the gym, and now he's worth $200, or whatever the market fluctuations cause that he's an Eved of his same stature is now worth $200. So how do I know that when you're doing the Cheshbonos in terms of Giron Kesef, that we still look at him as if he's worth $100? Shnemar Mikesef Miknaso, because the Pasuk says Mikesef Miknaso. So you look at what he was bought for. Let's say he was sold for $200 and then he went down in value and now he's only worth $100. How do I know that in that case also you value him at $100 at the lower price, not at the price that he was bought at? Tamlum or Kfishanov. Pasuk says Kfishanov based on what he is now, not based on what he was bought for. I would only know that this is true about an Eved who sold to a guy, because since, after all, an Eved is sold to a guy, the Krovim have the right to go and to redeem him against the will of the Adon. So we see that the Adon, who's a non-Jew, has the lower hand anyway. Nimka li Yisrael minalan. But how do I know that this is even true, that the Adon will still have the lower hand in terms of the negotiations of how much money he gets for the Eved to go free, even when the Eved is owned by a Jew? Tamalomar sachir sachir l'gzer shava. Gzer shava sachir sachir, that we apply the halachas of one to the other. Amar Abaye, hareini ki ben azay mishukei tveri. Abaye was feeling good about himself one day, so he said, I feel like ben azay in the Shukei Tveria. What did Ben Azay feel like in the Shukei Tveria? So says Rashi, ki have a bedicha daite, when Abaye would be in a jolly mood, have a regular memer hachi, he would say this, Hareni pasuach umuchan lahash of the shalid vartora ki Ben Azay. Shaya dar bitveria, shaya charev vidarshan. He would say, I'm ready to answer all comers. Anyone who wants to, I'm ready to take on anybody. Anybody who wants to ask me a question, I feel like I can answer anything today. Like Ben Azay, who lived in Tveria, who was a charev and a darshan, and used to say, that he used to say that all the Chachmei Yisrael to me, in relation to me, are like the peel of an onion. Why dafka a shum? Why not garlic? Why dafka shum though? Why not anything else? Why not a klipa of an orange? So shum is a davar charif, and that's the point. He's saying, I have such charifas, even though other people have charifas, they're just piggybacking my charifas. I have the real charifas. I can answer anything. So Abaye would say this. So one day Abaye said this. So someone challenged him. So one of the Rabbanim said to Abaye, Michti, Hani krayikli medushin lekuluvikli medushin lechumra. These pesukim that we just darshan, the mikesav, miknaso, and kifi shanav, you could darshan them in two directions. Meaning, the Torah is clearly telling us that in certain situations you look at the value of the eved at the time of his purchase, and in certain situations you look at his current value. Now we could have we chose to darshan it, that we always look at the lower value when he's trying to pay his way out of avdus. But my chaz darshan l'kul and the darshan l'chumra. Why don't we darshan it that you should always look at the higher value? Maybe you should look at the value that he was bought at when that's the higher value than his current value. Maybe you should look at his current value when the current value is higher. Maybe we should look at it l'chumra. From the fact that we find that the Torah in general was makel with him, the Torah in general is a very lenient way of dealing with the Eved, because the pasuk says kitov lo imach, which we darshan imach b'machal imach mishta, that he's supposed to be with you in the way you eat and with you in the way you drink, shalote ata ochel pasnikia v'ochel paskibar, that you shouldn't have a good refined bread and him having a coarse bread, ata shosiyan yashin v'hu shosiyan chadash, you drinking old fine wine and him drinking newer wine that's not as good, ata yashin al gabi muchim v'hu yashin al gabi ateven, you sleep on a nice mattress, he sleeps on a less nice mattress. So you see from here, anyone is kona neved ivri, it's like he's kona adon l'atzmo. So you see that since the Torah takes such a lenient stand with him, so mistama, the das Torah, the das of the Torah, is that we should be lenient with him in terms of dealing with how he's going to pay to get out free. Frek tells us, what's this phrase, kikona adon la'atzmo? It's like you're being kona and adon for yourself. When we say kona adon la'atzmo, doesn't that mean that he's on a higher standard than you? The Gemara didn't say he's on a higher standard. The Gemara just says, you should give him the same mattress as you, the same food as you, the same drink as you. That's the same, not higher than you. So it says, So sometimes, though, you only have one good mattress. So if you sleep on it, then you're not mekayim kitov loimach, because you're giving him a lower standard. V'meino shochev alav, v'gameinu mosol avdo, if no one sleeps on it, that's just stupid. Zum midas adom, right? That's midas adom, because you wouldn't lose anything by giving it to him, because you're not sleeping on it anyway. So why are you not giving it to him? It's zenen of zelo chaser. That's midas adom. Nimsa shal karchot tzarech limsol avdo. So obviously, the only option is, you need to give it to him. Oh, the Hainu Adon Atzmo. Then he's going to be living on a higher standard than you. That's going to be considered Adon Atzmo. The Marit and the Maram Shith raise the question, what do you mean? Don't we have a klal v'chayachicha imach that Chayecha kodmin l'chayachicha? The halacha is, the Gemara says that if you have one kiton shalmayim, one flask of water, and you're walking in the midbar, and you have the water, and there's only enough water to allow you or your friend to survive, chayecha kodmin, you're supposed to take the water yourself, not give it to someone else. Why should the Eved be any different? Shouldn't we say chayecha kodmin, that you should come first? So the Achronim are Matarits, Maram Shif and the Marit are Matarits, that there's a big difference, that in the case of the Kiton Shalmayim. So if the halacha war that you're supposed to give it to someone else to allow him to survive rather than yourself, so what would you do? You'd give him the Kiton Shalmayim, then he would have the Kiton Shalmayim, and he would have an obligation to do what? To give it right back to you. And then you have to give it, it would be chazer chalila, no one would ever drink the kiton shalmayim. So that's why in that case we have a din, chayecha kodmin. When it comes to the eved, where all the obligations are you toward the eved and not the eved toward you, so there's not going to be any din of chayecha kodmin, because there's no need for the din of chayecha kodmin. It's okay to say, let him survive, because let him have it better, because he's the eved. So you could let him have it better, and he has no obligation to reciprocate, to let you have it better, because your relationship is not one of peers, it's one of two different people, where the chiyuvim are from the adon to the eved. So it's ironic, it turns out that you have to be nicer to the eved than you have to be to someone else. Now pashtus is, someone said to me recently, someone said, let's say you have your parents over to sleep at your house for a Shabbos, so you have nice big mattresses, nice big beautiful mattresses, in your guest room you have regular mattresses, do you need to give up your bedroom to your parents so that they can sleep on the nice big mattresses? There's no such halacha, right? You can let your parents sleep on the regular mattresses. But your eved, if you only have your nice big mattresses, your regular mattresses, so what do you have to do? Gemara says, beferish. Let the eved sleep in your bedroom with the nice big mattresses, and you're stuck on the lousy mattress. How could that be? The eved gets... But yeah, that's the rule by the eved. Apparently we're saying that when you're kona and eved, part of what the deal is that you are Konan and Adon. Cheshek Shlomo suggests, quoted I saw by the Sharmitzan Valacha, Cheshek Shlomo suggests that it's bedafka done this way because when you're Konan and Eved, you're trying to make yourself an Adon. Meaning part of the problem with being an Eved is that the Eved, instead of making the Ribbono Shlom his Adon, is now Konan Adon Liatzmo, has made you his Adon. So sort of as a punishment for that, for you setting yourself up in a position to be his Adon, we say, you think you're going to be an Adon. You're going to feel more like an Eved than an Adon. So it's dafka in the situation of an Eved, where we want you to feel, when you're the Adon, we want you to feel not like an Adon. So we go a little bit to the other extreme. Anyway, says Marvei Mahani Milin Achilu Shtia, Ki Echidol Starle, Halin Pidio Nachmir Le Midrabi Yosef Rebuchanina. But wait a second. Maybe the only time we're more makel with the Eved is when it comes to issues of food and drink. But when it comes to Pidyon, maybe we should be machmir with the Eved to go with his higher value when he's figuring out how much he still owes the master if he wants to go out free. Why would I think we should be more machmir with him? From the drushas of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, which will take up the rest of the Amud. So the question mark for this question is not going to be until the first line of Amud Beis. Meaning we're going to see from the following drush of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, we're going to see that maybe we should be very strict with the Eved and not so lenient with the Eved. We're only lenient on him with food and drink type of issues. Titania, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, Marbo, Reka, Makasha, Avak, Shal, Shavias. How severe is the Avak Shavias? Is the idea of even the lesser Isurim of Shavias, like Masu Matun Beperu Shvius, the halach of doing business with Peru Shvius is not the most severe of the Yisuri Shvius. Working the karka is the most severe of the Yisuri Shvius. Masu Matun Peru Shvius is not as severe. And nevertheless, look what happens when you do business with Peru Shvius. Adam Nosim Nosim Peru Shvius, Lesov Mokras Metaltalov. Eventually, he's going to have to sell his possessions. Shenemar Bishnaso Yaval Tashuvu Shaluchuzaso, Visamachle Visichisim Kru Memkala Misecha, Karmiana Misecha. Tells us about selling things right after it talks about Shemitah. So we see that your metaltalin, you're going to have to sell if you're not careful about doing business with the Peru Shvius. Lo hirgish, if the person still doesn't get the message, he has to sell his metaltalin, he still doesn't do tshuva for what he did. L'sof mochra sadosav. Then he's going to have to sell his fields as well. Shneamar, pasuk, you know, in the same parsha, pasukim continue, ki yamuch achicha umachar me'achuzaso. They have to sell from your achuza, from your land. Lo basali ado adch. And then, not only that, it's going to go even further. Achamokras Beso, now you have to sell your land, you have to sell your house. Shemar Kimukar Beis Moshe V'Yerchoma. So as an aside, parenthetical comment, the Gemara says, wait a second. First we said, you're going to have to sell your metaltalin. Then we said, if you don't take the Musar, you're going to have to sell your fields. And then we don't say, if you don't take the Musar, we just say, and by the way, after you sell your fields, you're still not going to take the Musar, you're going to have to sell your house. Not if you don't take the Musar, lo basa liyado. You're not going to take the Musar. So, maishna asam dama lo hirgish, maishna hacha dama lo basa liyado. Why at stage one do we say, lo hirgish, if lo hirgish, fine. And the second stage we say, lo basa liyado, it's not going to work anyway. So, why are we so sure that you're not going to take the Musar after stage two? So, kidrafuna, dama rafuna, kivin shavarodam avera, vishanaba, hutralo. That once the person has done an avera, twice, it becomes mutter to him. So, I didn't know about that one. That's great, right? Everything becomes mutter. All you have to do is do it twice and it's all mutter. So, no, Elan Nas is lo keter. What that means is that he begins to treat it like keter, meaning he's so much less likely to do tshuva when he's done the Avera a second time. When he's done it the first time, he might still be shaken up by it. By the way, the second time, he's already in the habit. He gets used to it and he sees the lightning didn't come down from Shemayim and he doesn't get, he's not as bothered by it anymore. He gets in the habit of doing it, it becomes like Keter. So the Torah is alluding to the Gemara is alluding to the fact that he's much less likely to do tshuva after doing the Aveira a second time. The next step is he's going to end up selling his daughter. But wait a second, you look on the margin, selling your daughter is in Shmos Perichaval. The rest were in Vayikra Perichafei. How do we darshan that one leads to the other, that you end up selling your daughter? So it says, even though the selling the daughter isn't really in that parsha, what it's telling me is if the next step, which is in the parsha, is borrowing money with ribbis, chances are you already sold your daughter by the time you're borrowing money with ribbis. Because, my time, a person would rather sell his daughter than to borrow money with ribbis. Why? Barte megarav nafka. Selling your daughter is a six-year deal, meaning she's going to go, she'll work, she'll be free, and it will all be over and forgotten. But, most of the azla, when you borrow money with ribbis, it just adds and adds and adds and piles on, and it's a much worse monetary situation than selling your daughter. So likely, if you're borrowing money with ribbis, you've already sold your daughter. Lobas liyadach of ribbis, shemar v'chiyamachicha mata ummata yado imach. Right, so the next step is going to be you can borrow money with ribbis for samachle al tikach meito. Lobas liyadach shemachras atzma. Then the next step is you're going to sell yourself. Shemar v'chiyamachicha nimkalach. Lo lecha el leger. Not only are you going to be sell yourself, but you're going to sell yourself to a ger, shenemar leger, lo leger tzedek el ger toshav, not a ger tzedek who's a Jew, but a ger toshav who's a goy, shenemar ger toshav mishpachas ger, zeh ovid chavim, shor malachar, zeh hanim kal avodas chavim atzma. Not only that, you're going to sell yourself in the service of the avodah zara, as Rashi says, lach tov eitzu mishar tzorcheha, not to worship it, not to become an ovid avodah zara, but to work in the, you'll be the janitor in the church, you're going to be chotev eitzim for the, you'll chop the wood and do whatever other needs there are for the avodah zarah. Not l'shem elahus, not because you want to treat it as an avodah zarah, but that's the position you're going to put yourself in. Big fat question mark. Meaning, so the point is, you see from all this drashas that the guy who sells himself as an eved ivri has done really bad stuff. So why should I be so makel with him when it comes to him paying off the adam to go free? Why should I assume the cheaper price between the price that he was bought at and the price that he's worth now? Why should we always assume the cheaper price? Maybe we should darshan the psukim to be more machmir on him. You know what? Suffer a little. Let him pay the higher price if he wants to go free. Samalei hasam ha hadre kradu tani debe rabbi yishmal hal v'hal tzav nasa kom lavod tzchavim ema livchi evan achar nofel tam lomar achre nimkar gula tiyelo echon me'achiv yigalenu. So it says Gemara, no, because the pasuk goes out of its way to show that we should be merachim on him, that people should have rachmanas on him, that a guy is sold as an eved to a guy, that you're supposed to go and try to redeem him from that abdus, meaning a guy is falling, he's obviously struggling, so we don't have this idea of throwing the stone after the nofel, meaning he fell down, so kick him while he's down. We don't believe in kicking him while he's down. Adraba, Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina is correct, he's down. But that does not mean that we're supposed to kick him while he's down. Adrabu, we should have a little bit of extra rachmanis on him while he's down. So that's a discussion in Poskim. At what point do you say, well, when a guy is down religiously, we should go out of our way to make sure that he comes back? And at what point do you say we're not going to make any sacrifices in terms of our own standards in order to bring the guy back into the fold? Truma Sedeshin writes in Skorin in the Ramah in Hilchos Nidui that when someone is chayav in Nidui, when someone is chayav to be put in chayrim, even if you're worried that it's going to make him go off the derech, still we don't. If we have a chayav to do it, that's what we do. We don't play games with this. Piskei Tshuva over there quotes though that you have to be very, very careful when making these decisions. That the Gedolei Yisrael have to be extremely careful when making these decisions. These are life and death situations. Anyway, but in our situation, we don't kick him while he's down. We darshan the psukim in his favor because we assume the Torah wouldn't want us to kick him while he's down. No, how do you know the fact that you're goel him is a raya to the fact that we should have rachmanos on him? Maybe we're goel him because we don't want him to be totally mix him with the goyim. Halin pidyo nachmer lemid Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. But when it comes to him being poda himself from the avdos, maybe we should be extra machmer in him that he should have to pay the higher price. Like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina says, the guy's not a good guy. He's done averos. So Rav Nachman Yisrael trade cry ksiv ksiv imod rabos b'shanim uksiv v'mat nisher b'shanim. Right? It says if he sold for a lot of years or a little years, the chieshan rubus chieshan watos. But is that even possible? Every time he never resold, he's always sold for 6 years. So what does it mean? A lot of years or a little years? Rather, what it means to say is, if his money value went up, so then he only has to pay mikesef miknaso from the amount of from he's only evaluated based on his purchase price. Nismaid kaso, if his value went down, kifishanov, then we evaluate him based on how many years he's been working, meaning based on his current price. Maybe he's telling me otherwise. Maybe what the pasuk is telling me that if he worked for 2 years and he has 4 years left, then you go mikesef miknaso. The way Tosfos and Amud Aleph explains this is, since he's closer to the time of purchase than he is to the time of freedom, so then you would go with the purchase price. But if he's worked for 4 years and he only has 2 years left, maybe then I would go with his current price, since he's anyway so far away from his time of purchase, he's closer to the end than he is to the beginning, so you'd go with his current price. Maybe that's what it's telling me. It's not telling me about a rule that we're always makel with him. If that were the case, it would have just said shanim. Why the word bishanim? To tell me bishanim, that if over the years his value went up, then he pays from his original value. If his value went down over the years, kafishana, then you pay for his, you pay, he pays to redeem himself based on his current value. Amrav Yosef, Dashin Rav Nachman, Lahani Krai Kasine. Wow, what a beautiful drasha. He got the psukim perfectly. Fine, period. New issue. By Minera Funabar Klinamer of Sheshas. Evidently, Anim Kalavichav, Nigalachatan, or Nigalachatan. If inevitably is sold to a guy, can he be redeemed halfway? Meaning, if he can pay for half of himself, can he get out of half of the years of his service? I mean, he's got 4 years left. He can only afford to pay for 2 years. He wants to pay it now. Can he pay for 2 years and get out 2 years early? So, so says the Gemara. So I just lost place. Do we say, what are the two possibilities? Gulasu mistei achuza gamar. We have a gzereshav of gulasu from stei achuza. Ma stei achuza in nigal lechatzan, af hainami in nigal lechatzan. Just like stei achuza, he doesn't have gula lechatzan by stei achuza. There's no such thing as redeeming half of the stei achuza. So to over here, there's no gula lechatzan. Or maybe the gzereshav can only be darshan lekula, cannot be darshan lechumra. Tosa says this gzereshav must not be a real gzereshava, right? It must not be a gzereshava gemura. It's just a gilui milsa, because a gzereshava gemura, you don't say lekula gazri lekula amrin lechumra lo amrin. When something's a real gzereshava, you say it bein lekula bein lechumra. It must just be a gilui milsa. Other rishonim disagree. They say it is a real gzereshava, but there's reason to believe that the Torah in general is makel with the evet. So maybe when it comes to a situation of an evet, we should only darshan it lekula. So I'm like, don't we say over there that if he's sold entirely, nimkar kula, that he's, he has to be sold entirely, v'lo chetzio, not halfway, so over here as well, nigal kula v'lo chetzio. If you would say that nigal lechatzayin, that the eved can be nigal lechatzayin, can pay half of his geula, mishkachas lekula ulechumra, that's not always necessarily a kula. It could be a kula or it could be a chumra in the following case. Lekula could turn out to be a kula in the case as follows. Zavdei mimeya, the guy was sold, was bought for $100 initially. Yav lechamishin, he paid $50. Right. So if you can assume nigal lechatzayin, so what happens? But he paid $50 paga de dummy, which was half of his value, and therefore he cut half of his avdus off. But now va'ashbach v'kamal masa, now he's worth $200. Then his value goes up. So iam nigal lechatzan. So if you say nigal lechatzan yav lemeya v'nafik, he only owes another $100 because that's half of the value that he has now, and then it'll go free. V'yamar nei nigal lechatzan yav lemeya v'chamishin v'nafik. But if you say he's not nigal lechatzan, then he would owe another $150. What do you mean? He would pay another 100 or 150. Don't we always go with his purchase price? Didn't we just say that before? Farmer and Sarba Kasim Mikasim Mikasim. Even if it goes up in value, go with his purchase price. So going to Oker Vizalva Oker. Now the case is, he was worth 200, then he went down in value, he was worth 100, where we go with his $100 value. At that point, he paid $50, and then he went back up to his original purchase price. So in that case, you for sure go with the higher value. So that's where we say that it would be a kula to say that there's gula chatzad. Mishkak Salachumra, sometimes it could be a chumra to say that there's gula chatzan. Zavdi masan yav meya palgidami. He was bought for $200. He pays 100, which is half his value. V'ichsif, and then he goes down in value. Kamal meya. Now he's only worth 100. So yam nigal chatzan yav lechamishin v'nafik. If you say nigal chatzan, so he'll be able to pay 50 and it'll go free. V'yamar nei nigal chatzan. But if you say he can't be nigal chatzan, hanach meya pikadon inu gabei. The $100 that he gave were just to be pikadon by the master. Yav lemelai v'nafik. So the master now he could just say, remember the $100 I gave you? Keep it. I'm out here, because now he's only worth $100. That's his entire value, and therefore he'd be able to go free. All right, we'll start from there tomorrow. We've got some ground to make up.